and to the myth of what we need to be marriage material. And I want you to know there's times I suggest to God, but there's other times. I remember one time after my father died, it was a hard time. When those personal things in our life, it's hard. I remember shaking my fist and said, if I had to do it all over again, I'd say no. I wouldn't say yes. And then I realized I was fighting with God. And it became one of those Job moments where it really doesn't matter because God is there. God is there, right? I was asked in the third year of my staff life to become an area director. University had decided at that point that they wanted to bring women into management. There were very few women in management at that point. Janet Orsley-Leith, who's in the room, was one of them. But that year, they brought, within 2 years, they brought six women into management as the first area directors, and I was one of them. So when Jim Lundgren, who was my supervisor at that point, asked me to be an area director, I asked him why. And we had this conversation at least three times. Why do you think I can do this job? I grew up in a church that I dearly loved that said women do not teach or lead. I had no concept of that. And there was no models. And the models I saw of older women in university, to me, were honorary men, and I didn't want to do that. So as I came into the area director role, I wrote this in my application. I said, my commitment to do this is to do this as a woman, to be who I am. And in many ways, I'm this stereotypical woman who cries at the drop of a hat, right? I'm an INFP. I have lots of feelings. And they're all there. And I can let my feelings define reality for me, which is not always a positive thing. But that's how I approach life. And so many times I felt I was being said I needed to suppress my feelings. And I think one of the things God has taught me is I need to learn to manage my feelings. My feelings do not define reality. But they're telling me something significant. And when I don't pay attention to them, then I lose something of what God has given me to interact with the world. I will forever be grateful to Jim Lundgren, I think, who believed in me before I believed in myself. He saw potential in me. He listened to me. He let me cry. And he partnered with me. In some ways, Jim acted as my Mordecai. And he pushed me harder than I wanted to be pushed. I remember one time we were up at Cedar Campus, or I was preparing to go to Cedar Campus where we do our camping in Great Lakes West and East, and he asked me to be the overall program director because he needed a woman in the role. And I did not want to do that, and I fought him hard. I was so mad that week that he made me do this job. I was really mad at God, right? And I don't like being program director. I'm an INFP. There's too many details. And there's too much public speaking and having to be clear up front with details as you're speaking. So, but what was interesting that week as I wrestled with God, I happened to be reading a book called Inside Out. And it's God confronted me. And I realized that I took another step in my leadership, that there was things I didn't think I could do, but I needed to try them to find out if I could. And I got so much positive feedback and continued when I led in terms of how I led staff meetings. So it was one of those things like, oh, well, maybe I can do this. I think the hardest thing decision I made with the university was deciding to become and accept the position of regional director. I had partnered for 10 years as associate regional director with Jim Lundgren. I had been well mentored. I realized I probably knew the job better than anyone else coming into it because I'd done it with him for 10 years. But it was a hard application process for me. I wanted to say no. My basic question, can I have the life with Jesus that I want and do this job because of all the pressure? I also realized that stepping into the RD role meant that I would be leaving behind relationships. I'd worked with Jim Lundgren for 25 years. We had a comfortable working relationship. I had worked with men for many years, and we had a comfortable working relationship. It meant stepping into another whole context that's more male, willing to take that on. And I want you to know that I think the hardest thing for me as a woman is because I'm emotional and because I see things first by my gut reaction, it's how do I manage that and how do I lead and what I do when I'm in staff meetings. So I remember one of my first area director meetings being in a meeting, and mostly men. I think Jeanette Yep was there because she came on around the same time I did, and we were on the team together, which was a wonderful gift. But we were doing a Bible study, and the men were discussing some theological point that I really didn't think made all that much difference. And I asked the question in the Bible study, and I think it was a gospel. And so I said, whoever was the author, what do you think Mark was feeling? And they laughed at me. And I was so hurt. And I wanted to shut down. And we know that, right? And then you have to choose. Am I going to choose again to be the teacher? Recently, I was as an RD at a national event where I was doing some teaching with some men RDs. And before we went up to talk, we had planned the time. I felt like I had kind of moderated, did the connectedness, you know, integration thing that women do. And as we're going up to talk, 5 minutes before we get to talk, and I do not consider myself a great speaker. I always get nervous when I speak. And this younger male RD is saying, now you need to do this, now you do this, now you do this, 5 minutes before I talked. I finally looked at him and said, do you think I'm incompetent to speak? Because that's what I was feeling, right? And I've learned to express my feelings. And he looked at me big-eyed and said, no, I think you're more competent than me. Well, I didn't expect that answer. Because that's not how it was. So afterwards, we had the conversation, and I explained, you don't do that to a woman. Talked about women's self-doubt. And that's the theme through all our testimonies, right? Is our self-doubt and the internal struggle we go through to live in this world. About my second year at the RD, I had a conversation with Alec Hill. He was coming through Chicago, and he sat down and had supper with me. And he asked me what it was like, because at that point, there were no women RDs. There had been before, but there weren't. And then Kim Porter and I came in that year as the women RDs, and I relayed some difficult interactions I had with men as RDs. One where I had reacted negatively in a Bible study because I felt cut off and I cried. So then you got to talk about it. It led to an hour and a half conversation where this male asked me what was in my family background, what was my relationship with my father that led me to react this way. Shouldn't I look at my Enneagram and see what's part of me and how I need to change? Maybe I should do some counseling. And, you know, I was talking about women's self-doubt, and I said again, you know, I'm done trying to be rational and explain it, right? I just kept saying, must have said it 5 times, I know I'm not the only one that reacts this way. Right? I'm not the only one. And it is hard to go back to those conversations over and over. So I described some of that to Alec. And his shoulders sunk. And he said, oh, Sandy, I'm so sorry. Well, then I had to take care of him, right? And I said, oh, no. And this is what I want to say this morning. I said to Alec, no, I'm grateful that I have worked with men. They taught my natural ability of strategic thinking to be more strategic. I learned problem solving. I learned management. I learned how to speak and talk. I learned how to supervise. I learned how to negotiate with men. God used that to confront my selfishness. God taught me to share power. God taught me partnership. I have gained so much from working with men. We need each other. And I think at times we can talk about how hard it is, and we need to do that. It is hard. It is also a gift. And we need to embrace both. And my vision for InterVarsity is someday we will actually be a community where we bring men and women together. We bring Black and Asian and Latino, and Native American and white together. And we know how to make us all comfortable and hear all of our voices. What I know today is that following Jesus has been a long journey. There has been rocky terrain. I've lost my way a few times. I've resigned once. And sometimes the night is dark. There are no guarantees in this life. But what has been constant is that the Lord is with me. This is a journey of leadership and ministry God has taken me on, where he daily demonstrates his love for me and his commitment to conform me to his likeness. God's calling for me was larger than my mother's dreams. Unexpected, yes, but still part of God's big story. It is in this journey, this calling, that God has used to confront my selfishness, my desire to live life my way, to be safe, and has challenged me to embrace the fullness of what it means to be his daughter and a servant of the King.